It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
At the seeding part of it, like they're good at getting what teams
the
get
teams,
in,
right?
But like the so like my question is Memphis actually like an 8 or 9 seed right now, or are they actually just a 10 seed? Which is what, because I think their resume is better than what they're getting credit for right now. Like I think the bracket, for whatever reason, because they play in the AAC, but like I think that like you look at what they did against the SEC. Like I think a committee member is going to look at what they did against the SEC in non-conference play, and go, wow, that's pretty good. They went 4-1 against the SEC, and they beat some. And the one loss was to Alabama.
Play close.
And then they're going to look at their other part of their resume, and they go, "Wow, they got one quad three loss, but it's to the second place team in the league. Like it's not really a quad. Like it's a quad three loss, but it's not like it's not your typical quad three loss. So, and like other than that, they don't have a blemish otherwise. And then if you add in a Houston win, you know, my hope would be it could get you up to like a 7.
That's my hope.
I don't know.
Just skip past.
You know, if you go by what the bracketologists have it now, it won't get you up to a 7. It'll more like get you up to a 9. If you go by what they're saying, if you go by, hey, maybe they're a little better than the bracketologists think right now. They're in a little better position.
Yep.
Then maybe it can get you to 7. Particularly if you, well, we've seen in the past. I don't know if, you know, winning the AAC tournament will matter that much, especially because it's so close.
We know it doesn't. We know it never matters.
Yeah. Those spots are already slotted,
yeah,
like we've talked about.
I mean, like they're not going to mess with the bracket.
They would
that
only
close.
Do it if a bid was stolen.
Yeah.
Right? Like if Tulane,
like if you beat
won.
Houston in the AAC tournament finals, I don't know what it's going to do for you other than you get to say you're AAC champions.
Yeah. Like I bet you still end up as an 8.
It's so close, yeah, to the selection show. I bet you they don't. Yep. They're not changing anything off of that game.
Which, to me, right, if I'm the AAC, I would say this does not – I mean, I know I get the CBS, but for my teams, it doesn't really do anything for me.
Yeah, but I think I to be fair, I think it's that way for all conference tournaments. I think if you've seen historically, the conference tournament maybe can get you a seed higher or a seed lower. It doesn't often get you in the tournament other than if you win the whole thing. Like
That's
we
fair.
Saw with A&M last year.
Yeah.
A&M – you know, it didn't do anything for them ultimately. They didn't get in the tournament, even though they went all the way to the final in the SEC. And that final is on, I guess that final is Sunday too, right? The
yep.
SEC?
Yep.
But, yeah, so I would still, if I would do what the AAC does, take the big TV window on Sunday afternoon on CBS. I think it makes, like if you're Saturday night, you're getting swallowed up by the ACC,
yep,
the Big East. Now, something I would consider, they won't, because they like, for instance, the TV window they get this weekend where they're getting two of their teams on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're truly talking about, okay, what's going to be the best for our team in the NCAA tournament, it's doing what some of these smaller conferences do and playing the tournament earlier. And
yeah,
so
like
your teams,
like,
so your teams get like a break. You know, you get a few days break.
There's like quarterfinals going on today in college basketball already.
Yeah.
In like the ASUN and like the little.
Start a couple days ago, though.
Rinky dink joints.
Whereas like Memphis, like let's say Memphis goes to the AAC finals. They're going to play 3 games in 3 days, and then they're probably flying somewhere. They're flying back to Memphis,
yep,
Sunday night, and then they're probably flying somewhere Tuesday night, more than likely. Mm-hmm. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday night, they're flying somewhere else.
Nice.
And so now it's. you know, it's tournament time, so the adrenaline kicks in. I don't think it really, you know, it's not going to matter that much, but that's how I look at it. But, I think it's fine the way it is right now, especially, yeah. honestly, like, once Houston and Cincinnati and UCF leave.
Yeah.
Like, if they're, you know, like, if they're a one-bid league next year or, like, you know, like, getting that Sunday afternoon showcase would be pretty good for a one-bid league. Mm.
All right, give me, because we're having a little friendly, a friendly little back and forth on this. What's the number going to be
for
the game on Sunday? Let's assume
announce the crowd.
No. The number from Vegas.
John's big on this line. What's the line? Gonna be.
Yeah,
I think
it's going to break your heart.
Houston 2-point favorite.
Ooh,
two.
See, much closer to mine.
Yeah, a little closer than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, I think there's a decent chance Memphis is a pick'em. Now, plus two is basically a pick 'em. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, but it effectively is.
Two or three, something like that. Something in the margin.
I mean, you know, you start getting a three, that's a possession. You know, that's not a pick 'em.
What does KenPom have?
Seven.
No chance.
You don't think it'll be as high? Well, they're going to be closer to that, though. They're not going to go all the way down to two. Maybe it'll be like
that's
five.
That's my argument,
then.
Mark.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the way I look at it.
He said, "Yeah, he just moved there.
Yeah,
he went up to five
because they don't go that far against KenPom.
But here's the problem."
Exactly.
KenPom was way off in the first matchup, and that was without Kendrick Davis. The market was way off. That was a 15-point number without Kendrick Davis. It ended up as an 8-point loss. So the market was already way wrong by 7 points on Memphis and Houston in the first matchup.
Me and Mark can't understand you right
now. I think it's going to be five now. Now that you say that, it'll be like five.
That's what I wanted to point out to you.
Well, and again, that's a hammer spot for Memphis.
John just wants to be right.
If they
here.
Give me 5 points, that's fine. I'm happy to be wrong. I'd rather be wrong and get Memphis at five than be right.
I think what we've seen with Memphis, they play everyone close.
Yep.
Everyone close. They like, and it's not even playing down or up to their competition. I think it's just the makeup of the team. Like, how many teams have they really truly blown out this year? Like, SMU is one of the few teams they've actually like blown out this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that it's Kendrick Davis's return game. It gives him something to, you know, like, because that's a bad, like, that SMU team's a bad, they're 10-19. That's a bad SMU team. You don't want, like, it's, the reality is, once again, it is more important to beat SMU than it is to beat Houston this week. Just like the last time they played Houston, it was more important to beat Wichita State, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
than it was it Wichita State or maybe it was someone else? But whoever they played before Houston the first time.
Yeah.
UCF,
yeah, it was much more important to win that UCF game.
They barely did.
Than it was to beat Houston. Than it was to beat Houston on the road. I think the same thing applies this week because I think if they beat SMU, they're going dancing. Like, it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way. They could lose their first AAC tournament game because it's you're likely going to
be by far their worst loss of the year. They've avoided all of this.
Yes.
That's why there's
by the way,
that would
no
be a true horrible loss.
Oh,
it would be a true horrible
like,
loss.
Explain this.
I mean, they also like added a win. VCU won the A-10 regular season. They beat VCU by 15. Mm-hmm. I mean, that ended up being, I know it's in terms of quad, mm-hmm. no, but I mean, it was a decisive win
I'm
against a regular season champ.
I'm telling you, a committee member, a human being is going to look at their resume and go, this is pretty good.
So they went out and played some people,
exactly,
and they went
10-3.
Yeah, like, I think a committee member is going to look at this slightly differently than just looking at the numbers.
So maybe they're an 8-9 now, then. Like, to
that's
your point
I'm,
about
that's
that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe so.
I'm thinking that in my head. Like, maybe that's how you think about it, and maybe that Houston win can get you up to a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they beat Houston, let's say they beat Houston and then lose in the conference tournament finals to Houston again, that would put them at, like, 26-8, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's, you know, that's pretty good.
They had double-digit losses last year as a 9 seed, right?
I know
they had the two regular season wins over Houston, but it was double-digit losses.
I believe so.
And that's a pretty good record, especially with the schedule that you had non-conference.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Penny beat the IRP, but our guest today beat COVID and strep at the same time.
He's a man's man.
The COVID didn't really do anything to me. It was the strep was bad. But that got figured out. Once I got on antibiotics, that was pretty quick. And then I just had to sit. You know, I was put on the bench for a few days.
Kids, man, they'll do it to you.
I know.
Yeah.
I just pick up all their diseases.
You didn't even get to enjoy it, man, because when I'm sick, I make sure that I'm out of commission for, like, 3 days. Like, don't come in there.
No, I was still, like, having to, like.
He was doing hits and stuff.
I heard that.
Taking care of the babies, right?
Yeah, I was still taking care. Because, like, they were. We decided, like, I had already been around them before I had been diagnosed. And, like, they, one, they probably gave it to us, and two, like, they hadn't gotten it, like, they hadn't gotten sick. And so, like, it wasn't like I got, the first time I got COVID last year, like, I got full quarantined off from the family, and it was, like,
that was
bad, but also, like, you know, I could, like, you know, I could, like, just watch whatever I wanted. I could contract
this every 3 months or so. It's not that bad.
Y'all was playing them video games. Yeah. Just letting go.
I stayed
this time it was not like that. This time it was not like that. It was just like the perception on the outside has changed, the perception on the inside had changed as well.
I get that, you know, your kids had already been sick, so you couldn't really play that card. I'd recommend them not get sick first. That way you can really, you know, get out of your duties as a parent. Mm-hmm. You know, because what's the point of being sick?
Well, so here's the thing, though. I actually am okay with this because, like, my wife's about to go through a rough patch here where I'm going to be away for the AAC tournament. I'm going to be away for NCAA tournament. I'm going to be away for the NBA playoffs.
My wife hated that.
I need to build up. I needed to build up collateral anyways next week. It would have not been good if I was totally out of commission.
It's bet in the game there.
That's a big time move, man. Big time. And I'm not there.
No.
I'm not there. I'll see you in 3 days.
Hey, Field of 68 debut for this guy tonight.
Oh, really?
Be 10 a.m.
Really?
10 p.m. tonight.
Who are you doing it with?
Goodman and Randolph Childress.
Okay. I have a good Randolph Childress story.
What is it? I'll throw it at him.
Don't give it to him.
It's actually not a – it's not a good for Randolph Childress story. I was at a – he was coached by Stu Vetter in high school.
Okay.
He was a pretty well-known coach in the D.C. area. And when he played at Wake Forest with Tim Duncan for a little while. And one summer – I used to go to Stu Vetter's basketball camp every summer. And one summer – it was the summer after Duncan's junior year where everyone thought he was going to go pro, and he didn't go pro. And Randolph Childress brought him to the D.C. area to, like, work out – and they showed up at Stu Vetter's basketball camp to give, like, you know, a talk to the kids.
Right.
And then afterwards they signed autographs, and literally, like, everyone in the gym wanted Tim Duncan's autograph, and poor Randolph Childress had, like, no one in his line.
Oh,
and I remember,
no.
I remember I'm standing there with – I was with a couple people and a couple friends, and my friend goes, man, I feel bad for him. Should we go up and, like, just get his autograph? I was like – no, it's Tim Duncan. Like, you know, he's going to be the number one pick. I want Tim Duncan's autograph.
That's how I felt at Tops last week when they were all coming to see John. I was just over in the corner.
Randolph Childress was a number 19 overall pick.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Cold.
He was a good player.
Yeah.
Like, he was a really good player. He was like a McDonald's All-American, I think, coming out of high school. Like,
he was cold.
But it was, you know, Tim Duncan was like the dude. Like, he was a huge story because, like, it was like, this guy might be the number one pick and decided to come back to Wake Forest.
Why the hell did Tim Duncan go to Wake Forest? Is it like a Virgin Islands thing? Is that?
Well, he was like kind of, he was kind of discovered. He was not like a huge recruit. He was
crazy.
A swimmer in high school. Like, he was more known as like a swimmer in the beginning of high school and then got good at basketball.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That dude just wreaked havoc on the league for 20 years. Just basic as hell. You know what I mean?
Emotionless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Robotic. All right, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for coming in. I'll make sure to, hey, remember that time you went to that basketball camp and nobody wanted your autograph?
Will, our columnist in Memphis does.
That'll be a good first impression.
They remember that in Memphis, man. They said nobody wanted your autograph. All right, thanks.
I made the right call. Yeah. I still have that Tim Duncan autograph.
No, you did. There's no question. He's Mark Giannotto. Catch him 2 to 4. Read him at commercialappeal.com. We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
I'm Michael Jenkins, helping you beat the books with BetQL. On the ice tonight, the Washington Capitals are out west to take on Anaheim, and the Caps are slowly watching their playoff hopes dwindle. Washington has lost 7 of their last 8 and are now 13th in the Eastern Conference. Anaheim isn't playoff bound either, but the Ducks have won 3 straight, and the Caps are just 1-4 in their last 5 in Anaheim. With those trends in mind, the BetQL model is grabbing the Ducks on the money line over the Caps for their 5-star play of the day.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So we've obviously been telling you guys about our friends at Shoot 360 here in Memphis for quite a while, which is a great place to get your practice in and perfect your craft. But it's also a great place to host a birthday party. Oh, yeah. You can do the multi-court rentals, which gets you two shooting courts and two skill station for 2 hours and use of a private room. You can also do, for 60 minutes or 90 minutes, a full facility rental. Includes 15 guests. Additional guests obviously would impact the pricing, but you can have a number of options out at Shoot 360 if you've got a bunch of basketball players, friends, family, want to do the birthday party, do it at Shoot 360.
Yeah, you have a great time. You have a lot better time than we had for my kids' night. I won't tell you where that was at, but take them to Shoot 360 for the birthday party. I guarantee you yours will have a much better time. And John talked about options. Certainly got a bunch of great membership options. Reserve your spot. It's filling up at Shoot 360 as folks get the word that this is the place to be because, of course, it's the future of basketball training. We've told you that for a long time. It's right here in Memphis at Shoot 360. You need to go check them out. The Basketball Haven at 85 Market Center Drive in Collierville.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's get it.
Now, it's the rundown presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Good win last night for the Memphis Grizzlies as we do a little bit of a reset here. Ja Morant with that triple-double. Jaren Jackson went up and over Anthony Davis in a 121-109 win. 28-point quarter for Ja Morant in the third was the highest scoring quarter by an NBA player this year. And, of course, it was really the third quarter, 47-35, where the Grizzlies took control of that game after trailing at the half, I believe, by 349-46. They'll look to do it again tonight. Against another undermanned team in the sense that they don't have a ton of talent, at least in terms of fitting together yet with the Houston Rockets. And as John said, a team that's certainly tanking and has made that clear. What was it, 71 they gave up to Dame Lillard the other night? I think Denver just got him. They're handing out dubs if you want to come and get them. Mm-hmm. And the great thing for the Grizzlies is you get this team three times over this final stretch. So hopefully you use it to fatten up. And more importantly, like we said, get back right on the road.
Yeah.
0-8. We know that in your last eight on the road. So, again, hopefully it's a nice little way to, you know, ramp up as you head out to much tougher opponents later on in this Western Conference road trip, Denver and the like, Clippers as well. So, hopefully for the Grizzlies, the consistency, especially from your stars, continues. But Bane was good. You see that alley to Ja Morant?
Yeah.
On that one?
Yeah.
That came after turnover, obviously. The Grizzlies just feasted on Lakers turnovers last night. There was lots to like about last night, but I'm like, you know, Mark's probably right in the sense that you don't want to put too much into it. Yes, we like sort of the swagger and the attitude of this team coming out of the All-Star break here, but let's see it, too, on the road and stay this way against some better competition. We know the Lakers without LeBron, clearly, probably not even a playoff team. We'll see, though. I still expect that team to make the play-in, especially if Anthony Davis gave anything away in saying that, you know, we don't want LeBron to come back early. I just think they think they're going to get him back for at least some of the stretch. We'll see if it's enough to make the play-in. Ain't no touching six, as Stephen A. had projected before LeBron's injury.
Yeah, if you just sort of, like, look at the West right now, because now, like,
look at the West.
We're starting to get close enough to the end of the season to where it's, I think, it's okay to start to look at this stuff. Now, again, you are only 1.5 games ahead of the Kings. So that should be said.
They're 7-3 last 10.
Yeah.
Won 4 in a row.
Yeah.
Best offense since the Showtime Lakers, according to you.
Since ever. Showtime Lakers ain't got nothing on DeMontis Sabonis. We know that. Just look it up.
Just calm down.
Look it up.
Trista got you a little drunk on Kings of late. Let's
I don't
get
like
back
them.
Sober.
I don't like them, but it's like their metrics are what they are. You know?
Defensively, too, their metrics are what they are, which is worse than Dallas.
And what's weird about
they got to stop something at some point.
What's weird about the Kings is they are just as good on the road as they are at home. They have the same record, 18-13 on the road, 18-12 at home.
Check out their points, opponents' points allowed per game. And put the rest of the West up against that.
Yeah.
The only team that allows more is the Houston Rockets.
They're not built for the playoffs.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm trying to – I'm not arguing that.
They ain't going to catch them.
It's 1.5.
As long as you don't go out here and fall on your face on the road here,
yeah,
they're not going to catch the Grizzlies.
I would bet against it, but
it's not – Their schedule's tougher.
It's not impossible. It's not impossible.
Their schedule's tougher than yours.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Much tougher, considerably.
But, you know, look, the way I'm sort of looking at this Western Conference right now, we know that you're not catching the Nuggets at this point. But if you finish as the two, you know, that would right now put you in a first-round matchup as of today. Now, what's the play-in? It's 7 through 10?
Yes, John.
So
you're supposed to know that by now.
Yeah, it's still
I know, I don't blame you. It's like the All-Star voting.
Yeah, so
I figured out each year you have to relearn it.
It's impossible to know who would come out of that.
Yeah, I know, and that's with everything so tight right now too. This seems like a.
Well, I mean, it should maybe be the Mavericks. Could it be the Timberwolves? It maybe could be them. Should be them. You could have a rematch. You could very well have a rematch there, with the Timberwolves in the first round.
But just to go back, Sacramento fourth toughest schedule the rest of the way. You 30th.
Yeah. I mean, you should not lose the ground.
If they don't fall on their face on the road out here.
But I do think the key is praying that the Warriors don't fall to six. Like,
you're so scared of the Warriors.
I am.
It feels like me, like, there's one more step for Jaren Jackson, and it's doing what he did essentially Anthony Davis. And I'm speaking symbolically, of course, but doing what he did to Anthony Davis last night to Draymond Green. And then once he's done that, you've graduated to the next level. That's all that's missing at this point. Like, there is no one in the league that punks him. He's doing it over some of the stars now. You know, I know offensively you don't look at last night's game and just say that's some masterpiece for him, but it's how aggressive he is now. Grown man stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, to back to, since we're talking Memphis Golden State and how scared you are,
yeah,
maybe he can do it this year.
Well, it'd be the time.
Because the truth is, that ain't Draymond. That Draymond Green, shadow of his former self.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
All it is now is a mind game. And the minute Jaren breaks through, just like Scotty and the Pistons, they had him. The minute he breaks through, next level, y'all. Watch. That's the last thing. It's the last test for Jaren to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but look, you're in great position. You're in, and again, if it's not Golden State, then I think you're going to have a really, really good chance of getting to the West Conference Finals. So that, and then obviously the second appearance all time for the Memphis Grizzlies, and would likely be against a Denver Nuggets team that you just beat by 30. So, I mean, it's kind of coming up aces for the Grizz lately. I mean, as rocky as it once looked, you know.
Again, different team on the road this season.
They are.
Let's see it there.
But I mean, all you got to do is win one. That's it. Just win one. You can go 1-2 on the road. And, you know, or I guess, yeah, 1-3, I guess. As long as you just win every game at home. 1-2. I don't know what the math on that is.
You want to finish off some of these playoff series, you're going to have to be able to take a couple off the road.
Mm-hmm.
They've been one of the worst road teams.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
In terms of teams we truly rank as contenders or right beneath that, they've been as bad as it gets. So
yeah.
They'll have to show that. But to your point, that's why it's so key that you get the two.
Yeah.
Because then you're going through two rounds.
That's right.
Here, where you're on pace to break the franchise record, right, for most wins.
Yeah.
Most home wins.
You got to get through the rest of the regular season.
Winning percentage.
That journey continues tonight against the Houston Rockets.
Next story.
All right, this is an interesting story that may have implications for draft selections in April's NFL draft. Jalen Carter, the stud defensive lineman there for Georgia, who is a projected top five pick, top four pick at bottom, has been charged with reckless driving and racing in connection to that crash that killed a teammate and a recruiting staff member. The Athens-Clarke County Police Department issued the warrant obtained Wednesday by the AP, alleges that Jalen Carter was racing his 2021 Jeep Trackhawk against the 2021 Ford Expedition, driven by the recruiting staffer, 24-year-old Chandler LaCroix, which led to the January 15 wreck. He is in Indianapolis for the combine as we speak, and he was going to speak to reporters, as like you do when you're at the combine, but a league spokesperson told reporters that he would not be speaking Wednesday because he and five other players were still conducting physicals. He has released a statement in the last 15 minutes, and this is what he said. This morning I received a telephone call from the Athens, Georgia Police Department informing me that two misdemeanor warrants have been issued against me for reckless driving and racing. Numerous media reports also have circulated this morning containing inaccurate information concerning the tragic events of January 15th, 2023. It is my intention to return to Athens to answer the misdemeanor charges against me and to make certain that the complete and accurate truth is presented. There is no question in my mind that when all the facts are known, that I will be fully exonerated of any criminal wrongdoing. So that is what Jalen Carter said in his statement. Police investigators determined that alcohol impairment, racing, reckless driving, and speed were significant contributing factors to the crash. They did the toxicology report that indicated that Chandler LaCroix's blood alcohol concentration was 0.197, which is more than twice the legal limit there in Georgia. SUV that she was driving was traveling around 104 miles an hour right before the crash. So it's a tragic situation.
Wow.
And it's obviously a bit difficult to talk about because none of us were there, and all we know is what is being reported. You know, was he racing? I have no idea. I mean, if her car was going 104 miles an hour and his car was traveling the same speed, that would seem to indicate racing.
It suggests, yes. Again, proving it, court of law.
Right.
You know, I'm sure an attorney would tell Jalen, let's talk.
Yeah. So, again, I just don't.
This one, it's just so eerily similar to another high-profile prospect, Brandon Miller, on the other side, because you're talking about a highly sought-after prospect that's going to go high in the draft. You wondered how much an incident in which they were involved, but not, in Brandon's case, not criminally charged. This one, there's two misdemeanor charges.
Right.
You know, that part of it. Yeah. Will it drop any of them? We've seen to come to the conclusion that for Brandon Miller, it might not mean much. You know, he answered a few. Clearly, he's going to be asked about this. And John, if he was scheduled to speak at one point and they cut it, clearly they didn't know this was going to drop at all, right? He knew he had a case, this had happened, but they didn't think that this was going to be public before that combine if they had scheduled a meeting with reporters just to talk openly.
Right. My sense is,
the timing of this, you know?
Yeah, my sense is it will not impact his draft spot. I mean, I just don't, you know, and this is just the truth of it, these are misdemeanor charges. And, you know, again, it's a tragic situation. Lives were lost. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But were their own choices made? Right, I mean, you made the decision to get behind the wheel with a blood alcohol content level of 0.197, and you decided that you were going to engage in the race and go 104 miles an hour. Could have said no. You could have decided not to do that. You know, I mean, I feel like there's culpability there on the parts of the people that were participating in this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about Jalen Carter. And obviously, yes, it's tragic that, you know, lives were lost, but those were direct results of decisions that were made. I mean, we can't deny that, you know? I mean, I don't want to be insensitive about it, but I just kind of feel like that was, you know, you're putting other people in harm's way by doing that, you know, that are on the road or what have you. Like, I think about, you know, Henry Ruggs, right? I think about him and how that young woman and her dog were just innocently driving on the street at a red light and boom, dead. Because Henry Ruggs was, you know, drinking or, you know, going to whatever he was going in his new car. I mean, you know, so I don't know. My patience for these kinds of stories when it comes to, you know, doing ill-advised things behind the wheel, you know, kind of thin. You know, so I don't know what the upshot for Jalen Carter is.
That's great. I mean, he's going to put teams like the Bears in that predicament. What you just said, they're gonna weigh all that.
Yeah.
You know, how involved he was in this.
It's a bad decision to engage in it.
You know, is there any because you never know, especially in some of these college towns, like have there been previous incidents?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you
that
need to know
up.
That about
sure.
Carter.
Sure.
And I'm getting into this because my Bears could very well be the team that's traded down to four or whatever it is, and they're considering him because Will Anderson's off the board.
Right.
And so they'll ask themselves these questions. How involved was he? To your point about the other driver's decision in this case. There's all of that to be weighed. So I don't think it's insensitive here. This is, yes, it's a tragic story, number one. Just like the Alabama thing, where you end up talking more about, unfortunately, you end up as us, especially with these drafts coming up, you end up talking more about what's it going to do to a kid's draft stock. But remember, lives were lost, all that as well. So it's a sensitive topic, John, but I don't think we're being insensitive in talking about questions that front offices and everything else are going to be asking. It is crazy how there are parallels between this and the Brandon Miller thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, at least according to Brandon Miller's attorney, he brings the gun.
Right.
Unknowingly, he says, even though there was a text to bring it, brings a gun to the location where the 23-year-old woman is killed. And they're both going to be like, what, top five picks?
Right. I think in terms of Jalen Carter and probably Brandon Miller as well, it's less a criminal matter than an ethical, personal dealing with matter. Like, how are you going to live with the fact that, you know, if in the case of Jalen Carter, he encouraged this and egged it on and knew, you know, that everybody had been drinking, you know,
mm-hmm.
right? That's wrong. That's clearly wrong. Criminal proceedings, is that a thing you could, you know, I don't know. It's not really my place. I don't know. Brandon Miller, same thing. You know, yeah, you didn't pull the trigger, but did you facilitate, you know, knowingly, unknowingly, that murder? Right? I mean, these are things that they're going to have to deal with, you know, beyond the court of, you know, law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that feels like something to me, like as a human being, it would be something I have a hard time.
I don't have the story in front of me. Do you have the incident date? Just out of curiosity.
January 15th for Jalen Carter.
This has been.
Yeah.
And before this, there nothing leaked out about this happening, had it? Outside of it, nationally, at least.
Well, we knew about the crash.
Okay.
But I think these are new details. I mean, I'm assuming they've been investigating it for the better part of a month and a half, and so that they've uncovered, they've gotten all the data and stuff, you know, speed, things like that.
You knew of his involvement in the crash before today, before these details came out? You already knew that as we'd been talking about Jalen Carter as a prospect and everything else?
You knew he'd been involved in a wreck? That I think is new. Yeah, that I think. I don't believe we did know that. I think we knew that there was.
And I shouldn't say he was involved in the wreck, I guess. I guess that's kind of misstated.
He was at the scene.
Yeah. He wasn't involved in the actual wreck.
All we knew was about the.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's the new information. You're right. Yeah. The new information was that Jalen Carter was there.
Because I've been sitting up here talking about, hey, Bears going to take him.
Right.
He's the best, and no, this
it was
hadn't
just,
come up.
So. It was just the crash happened with Chandler LaCroix,
right.
Kevin Willock, the other lineman as well, yeah.
Okay.
I guess that's right. Like, we didn't know about Jalen Carter's involvement in the entire scene, in the entire evening. But, again, you know, and I guess because the lives were lost, I feel really, really sick for, you know, the family of Devin Willock, who was an unwitting passenger for all he knew, right? I mean, he's just, it's a tragedy. It really, truly is.
No question.
You know, and I think, you know, are there, how similar is it to the Brandon Miller thing? Maybe it's very similar, You know,
they're just parallel. I just care if I stop short of saying something, but there are parallels.
Yeah, right. Decisions,
so, which I guess you could say is also saying another form of saying there's similarities.
Yeah. Just a sad situation, man. And we'll see. My sense though is that it will not impact his draft position. I don't think he will become. He'll go from being a top four pick to a second rounder or a third rounder. Even though Laramie Tunzel, like, he dropped for weed. It's crazy to look back on that.
I think it was the timing of that killed him more than anything.
Yeah, because
if that happens,
like draft night or something.
It was right on draft night. If that happens a couple of weeks and you got a chance to talk to him,
like,
he probably doesn't drop.
You know.
Consider what the offense in that
case. It used to be
It was the timing of it that sunk him.
Yeah. No, it was. It was. It's just kind of crazy, like, how society evolves. Because it used to be a thing where if you caught, like, you'd get, like, pictures of a tiger, like, smoking weed or something. And it'd be like, oh. And now it's like, who cares? You know? I don't. Whatever. You know, maybe that's just me, but it's just, I don't know. It's the way the world has moved on. It's just crazy. But yeah, this is a sad situation. Again, I don't think it will impact his stock. We shall see. But we'll see where it goes from here.
Next story.
Aaron Rodgers says he got an inner peace during his 4-day darkness retreat that he came out of last week. But says he's almost ready to reveal whatever decision came out of his darkness.
Oh, thank God.
Now, here's the thing, and I heard a little
bit. Are you sure he's almost ready?
Frustration in Chris Canty's voice this morning, and I've shared a similar frustration. You signed up last year.
Hello, darkness.
Most have shown a commitment then, and yet here we are again with you having, what, 50, 60 million coming this year, and you want to waffle, and you want to act like, well, it's about what Green Bay is going to do. And Green Bay says they're waiting on an answer from you. Aren't we all tired of this? And when, I guess, Gutekunst was asked earlier this week about basically, do you want him back, there was a but in the answer. And at some point, if you are Green Bay, aren't you ready, right, to say enough of this? We did it last offseason with you. Feels like every offseason. You signed the deal. We cannot keep going through this, especially after a season in which your play did deteriorate. Like, we finally saw a little bit of that. Nobody's saying you can't go back out there and be great, but in a year where times where we're paying you $50, $60 million, we're not making the playoffs, right? Is that healthy for our organization, especially at your age?
Yep.
And so at some point, and you'd think it's now, considering the fact that man's talking about he had to go to a darkness retreat and still hasn't given you an answer, common sense would slap Green Bay upside the head and say, man, we got to pursue all opportunities.
Absolutely.
We have got to move on from Aaron Rodgers, because you know why? It ain't worth it anymore. It's that simple.
It's not.
Look at last year. It's not worth it anymore. There are a bunch of different ways to skin a cat. Yes, he's a Hall of Famer, but in holding on for too long, you'll never know if Jordan Love could do it or not. And you've wasted picks, everything else, in terms of kind of halfway, one foot in, one foot out with him. The guy's waffling on you, and so in the end, I think if you're Gutekunst in the Green Bay, and this guy's literally still putting up headlines about, almost ready to tell him something, but not sure yet, it is not worth it anymore. So if I were Green Bay, I'd be pursuing all trade options and trying to move on from Aaron Rodgers, because that's it. It's been one Super Bowl. It was great. He's a Hall of Famer. It's time to move on before you bury yourself even deeper because of this dude.
I agree totally. With that being said, I wish the Raiders would get involved, because I just want to be entertained. You know, I know that my franchise is not going anywhere. I know that we are basically a Devontae Adams, like, decline away from being, like, bottom feeding in the league. So at least let's make it entertaining. But if I'm the Packers, where you have two really solid running backs, you've got a really good defense, you've got some stud young receivers that, you know, Christian Watson was like one of the hottest receivers in the NFL at the end of the season last year, caught like 6 touchdowns in 3 weeks or something crazy like that. I mean, dude was on fire. You've invested a high pick in Jordan Love. It's time to start that clock, because A, he's going to want to get paid, you know, and that rookie contract's going to run out. And B, why subject yourself to, exactly as you said, this rope-a-dope every single year with this prima donna going to a retreat, drinking ayahuasca.
With a contract signed.
Wearing a diaper at a darkness retreat. Like, let's get off this ride. What's it yielded anyway? You haven't won a Super Bowl since Derrick Rose played at Memphis.
What are we talking about? You know, it's time to, you know.
Well, Aaron's got an answer for you.
Which is what?
I don't want to drag anybody around.
Bro, yeah, that's all you ever do, bro.
Look, hold on. Just calm down. Look, I'm answering questions about it because they asked about it. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. If you don't like it, John, if you think it's drama, you think I'm being a diva or whatever, just tune it out. That's fine. But this is my life. It's important to me. And I'll make a decision soon enough, and then we'll go down that road and be really excited about it.
Well,
he loves to just make the world wait on him.
Does,
that's
though.
What we're talking about with Aaron Rodgers. And I just keep going back to, dude, you are not the guy with 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Because you sure act like you are.
Yeah. Sorry, he won the Super Bowl in the second year of the Pastner era. It wasn't quite Derrick Rose. But you get the point. It's been a long-ass time since Aaron Rodgers has been relevant to that.
But you'll take him
discussion.
All day long so he can jerk y'all around.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got nothing else. I got nothing to lose. You know?
Yeah, you do. A shot at one of the quarterbacks next year. Just tank and just take the bad season. It's got to happen, John.
Yeah.
I just went through one.
It's crazy.
Hey, and I'm on the other side, shiny.
I wouldn't
like
say
Shawshank,
you're on the other side.
Like Shawshank
I mean,
Redemption.
It's a little premature there.
What are you talking about? We're about to have all the assets.
No, you still
about
in
to
the
have
tunnel.
20 picks.
You still in the tunnel.
Draft runs through us.
Yeah, but you got to, like.
Nah, we coming out. There's no way polls can mess this up.
I mean.
We coming out
that.
On the other end shiny.
The
like
Raiders,
Andy Dufresne.
The Raiders had a lot of picks. And what they get out of that?
Well, you're a clown franchise, a clown owner.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm with you. Like, I feel like it's just a lot of pageantry and a lot of hubbub for a guy who is a good quarterback.
If you need to think about it after we'd signed a deal last year, roll.
Right.
Like, at some point, you got to put your foot down as a businessman.
Oh, I think the Packers are there. Like, I do.
He better be.
I think the Packers are there. So they'll just go with Love, who, by the way, when he got hurt in that game, I can't remember who it was against. Was it the Chiefs? No, it wasn't the Chiefs. It was somebody, though. Mm-hmm. It was somebody where Jordan Love came in at the half and was, like, awesome. I think they should be there. I think they should be ready to, you know, move on and embrace the guy that they clearly believed in. I mean, Jordan Love is going into his fourth season. It's time. It's time to pass the torch.
We'll find out if he's really a quarterback or not before he's out of there and you never even really found out. Don't let him go somewhere else. It could cost Gutekunst his job. He goes somewhere else, Jordan Love's good, right, and you wasted all your time with Aaron Rodgers holding you hostage.
Yeah.
That'll cost him his gig.
It was the Eagles. That's who Jordan Love came in against and played pretty well.
Yeah, don't be so sold on him yet, though, John.
I'm not sold on him, but I'm saying, like, hey, you know, it's probably.
You're saying time passed, time to see what you got.
Yeah.
Might not be time passed. Either way, time to see if you got something behind him or
right.
not is the
because
point.
Because here's what I know.
You know what you got with Aaron. You just saw it. It didn't make the playoffs.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Like,
period.
Like, I don't need to deal with this roller coaster of you don't like the receivers. You don't like our drafting.
The roller coaster is why Devontae's gone.
Exactly right. And because Aaron Rodgers is selfish. Like, Aaron Rodgers took the money, and he didn't care about it, Devontae Adams. And then play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Oh, you don't like your receivers. Because you took all the money, dog. You took all the money, and you ran your best, the best receiver in the NFL away. Because yeah, they had no more money. They had to pay him. You know, he wanted to get paid. But then you complain on the back end that you don't like your weapons. It's like, bro, you cannot have it both ways in this league. You know? Like, look at Mahomes. Mahomes had Tyreek Hill, but he knew that because he took that $500 million deal, which was still team-friendly, mind you,
up front,
that he was going to suffer. You know? And he won a Super Bowl with you, me, and Antonio Barton. You know, I mean, that's what he did. So
I'd just say AB is just strange.
Just random,
really random reference. That's pretty good there. Though.
His receivers are random.
Okay,
you know what I mean? Like
AB though.
Yeah,
basketball.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Justin Watson, Kadarius Toney, Juju. He got hurt though. I guess he did play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and he actually played pretty well.
He's the one that got the
hole.
The call.
Yeah, that y'all still can't get over, man. Get over it.
Call it the same.
Get over it.
I'm over it, believe me.
If it's a penalty in the last 2 minutes, it's a penalty. All right? That's the bottom line.
You don't decide the Super Bowl on a call. That's what that
100%.
Ref did.
Well, you can't not.
After letting it go all game long. I'm not going back here with you.
You're deciding the Super Bowl potentially if you don't call it. So I'd say if you commit the crime, you do the time.
You saw that pass wasn't getting caught, so you're not deciding
well,
the Super Bowl.
Well, we can't possibly know that.
That pass was uncatchable,
fool. Have you ever thought about not holding, not cheating? That's the problem in this society. Y'all willing to cheat as long as it gets the job done. See, I disagree with that. Do it the hard way. Pull up your bootstraps. Be a real American. Don't try to take the shortcut, and don't be mad when people enforce the law. All right? You go 45 miles over the speed. If you go 5 miles over the speed limit, you should go to jail. 40, 45 and a 40, jail.
I'm sick of you and the Chiefs. Just moved to KC.
Period.
You can do the field of 68 show from there.
No, I want to do the field of 32, and we're going to start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Win again. Win again.
Now, you act like they're your team and not your division rival that owns
you. What would
you
do if you were me? What would you do?
Not that Kevin Durant. If I can't beat him, join him. Crap you doing.
I just bet on him. I just bet on him. That's all I do. That's how I.
You just hand over all your respect.
Yes.
Everything to him.
I have
your
none
whole
for
inner
the Raiders.
Being. Yeah.
Would you?
You sound like a fan of them folks.
I'm a fan of what
just
Mahomes does
down.
Week to week. And that's what Aaron Rodgers doesn't do. Patrick Mahomes goes out there and he delivers week after week after week. And what does Rodgers do? He craps himself in a darkness retreat and complains about his receivers. Enough.
Yeah.
Enough.
Keep your betting life and your fandom separate.
In this case?
Because your favorite teams and players are becoming the ones that win for you. And that gets,
that's right.
Now you're starting to sound like that radio show host in Atlanta. You play for me.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not
you
true.
You play for me.
I've never said
you
that.
You failed me.
I've never. Well, that if you have
you lost
me.
John Martin to bet, you failed him, and you're on his bad list to probably talk bad about your career.
I'm trying to think of who has really burned me. Who has really burned me in the past? I really can't think of one off the top of my head. Aaron burns me. He does. All the time he burns me. He burned me
big.
Well,
the Buccaneers were burning you this season.
They were, yep. But Aaron burns me a lot. Tom Brady burned me the most. Aaron's close second because I remember distinctly they were like down at the half at home against the Jets and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
And I made a pretty decent wager on the Packers at the half. That folks got blown out at the crib by Zach Wilson this season. So
very disappointing.
I mean, I would look if I'm Green Bay, let's move on with it. Let's get on with our lives. Let's see what we got to enjoy.
That's what I'd
love.
Be saying.
And let Aaron be Robert Saleh's problem. You know, like let him go be somebody. Let him go underachieve and complain somewhere else. Cause I'm over it. You're not even producing anymore, man.
I want to see him in front of that Jets media so they can tear him up there in New York.
Was he even good last year?
And laugh at him in his face in
like,
some of those.
That's
ads.
The problem. It's like, bro, you ain't even doing it like that anymore.
No, I don't think he's done though. Based
he's not
on
done
last year.
But he threw 12 picks last year. That's like damn near the league leading. Not far off.
But you saw the signs of him in the back half of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you saw the signs again.
Absolutely. All right, we'll come back. Hey, it's March. We hadn't even talked about that. The calendar has turned to March, bro.
I mentioned it in the open.
It's time to get serious. So Katrina Merriweather is going to join us at 1:25, as it could be a momentous March for her program. Get into all of that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.